Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Action-packed three-hour program lined up today. Plenty of Major League Baseball. Strong card coming up tonight. A lot on the U.S. Open. High-quality guest today on the program as well. Jeff Seely and Wes Reynolds on that golf tournament. David Purdom on the program today. A lot to get into with him, including the updated news regarding that betting tax in the state of Illinois. And Derek Stevens, also the owner and CEO of this great property, coming up in his usual Tuesday spot as well. And Paulie will begin with the National Hockey League and what took place last night, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. As good as the first two games were combined, last night was equally as bad. I turned it off. It was so bad. It was unwatchable to me.
Yeah.
Total rout. And then, you know, we had that discussion. Are they going to swallow the whistle? Are we going to get a clean game? Who's going to take it? I mean, what do we have, 140 penalty minutes last night?
Yeah, the Oilers set the record.
One of the worst games I've ever watched in my entire life for half of it. And I just said, that's enough.
Yep. It's too bad. I thought this could be an all-timer. They got their asses kicked, and then they lost every fight as well. They tried to get physical, and Florida beat them up with the fights, too. So I thought Skinner should have been pulled earlier, try to
wake
them up.
Way earlier, right?
Yeah, you had to send a message to the team, and by then it was over. So, you know, if you wanted to do in play and get aggressive, I mean, again, you got the goal right off the bat as well. Goal in the first five is now 3-0, and every first period has gone over as well. So 9 of the last 10 have gone over head-to-head. They bury them again. It's $1.45 on Thursday. They're -260 adjusted series price. I know what happened last year, but this feels like a different ball game where I think Edmonton's season is on the line on Thursday. I think it's too hard to come back and beat these guys three in a row. And first things first, they got to fix their defense. They got to stay out of the box. Draisaitl's on a milk carton. I don't have a lot of confidence in Skinner, although it wasn't on him. Knobloch had his back a little bit. That was an abomination.
I totally agree. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's over with. Can't do that because of what happened last year. And Edmonton is very, very good.
No, I'm saying if they say go down 3-1. Won't go there?
You're right. No, I won't go there right now.
All right.
We'll not go there right now.
Yeah.
But it's quite clear to me that they have to have game four.
Yep.
And now how do they respond? I guess the extra day now is going to be helpful to them, right? Because how would you like to pick yourself up off the mat if you're one of the Edmonton Oilers players after last night and play already tomorrow night if you had a game? That would not be a lot of fun. Unless they just want to get that, they're pros, I get it, get that sour taste out of their mouths. But they were defeated in every single aspect, in every inch of the game imaginable last night. And I don't know how you shake that one off. It was a total beatdown after they were pretty much dead even with the Panthers in the first two games. And I'll tell you what, this is where game two, blowing that power play and allowing that shorthanded goal and losing the game eventually, this is where it's going to come back and bite them in the ass.
You're right.
Should have had a 2-0 series lead going back to Florida. Didn't, and now here you go, stuck 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, boys.
Yeah. Would you make a goalie change?
Well, what about all these numbers I've been told about for 3 weeks now with Skinner games 4-7?
Yep.
Does that mean anything at all? Probably not.
I have to trust it. I'm going to give them one more game. And then I make the change and go back to Pickard. And I know Knobloch hasn't said who he's going to start on Thursday, but he said he can't put a lot of those goals and mistakes on Skinner as well. And then they give up three power play goals. So I have to let him go game four. He's on a short leash. And then if it goes sideways, that's it. You try to make the change and go back to the guy that was so good early on for you.
How short is the leash? What if Marchand sticks one in again 2 minutes into the game? Is that it? Yank him?
No, it's not crazy like the board.
It's not Ottinger?
Not that. It's no. It's also based on feel, too. Depends what happens. It's not just, okay, they scored. Is it a soft goal?
Sure, of course.
Is it matters. That's how you play into it as well.
About some of those snipes last night as the former goalie?
Yeah.
First of all, the Verhage shot was unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
How does he squeeze that in? He has this much room to operate, and he put it in over his shoulder. Right? He had an inch, and he got it in the net somehow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one later in the game that was similar to that as well, beating him, what was it, high stick side? So those are tough to stop. I understand that. But I guess when is too late? Because if you're down 2-0 first period and the Florida Panthers score two easy goals and you can't come back from that, is that decision to start Skinner going to come back and haunt you and cost you the entire Stanley Cup? Because then you're going to be down 3-1
Yeah.
Under that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he does pull the plug on him going into game four, then Pickard is just absolutely an abomination.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. How about props standpoint? How crazy has this been from props? And again, all these big tickets are cashing, and guys that score. Bennett does it again.
Huh?
Marchand does it again. Verhaeghe does it again. Bob, the saves go over. He's great. Even though Draisaitl doesn't get a single shot on goal, we got several emails saying play against him with Barkov on him and how Florida changed things and tinkered around and Maurice making changes as well.
Yeah, they equated that because they noticed that last night Barkov is going to be shadowing Draisaitl for probably the rest of the series. And it's like the common analogy that we saw was you're sticking your best cornerback in the NFL on a receiver who's tearing up everybody, and then you say, okay, try to beat us now because we're gonna shadow you the entire time. We're not moving this guy off of the receiver the entire game. And if he goes for 10 catches and 100 yards, then he's just unbelievable. We don't think he can do that. So
yeah,
I guess that's going to be the game plan, and then they'll send 100 different guys at McDavid in every game when he's on the ice.
Yeah, and then Ladder, Bouchard, shots on goal. Can't lose. What good point. Good job pointing that out. 12-1 cast. He had 9 shots on goal. Yeah. Nine. I can't believe it.
He was 12-1, I believe, yesterday on the show. We brought that up to lead the game. I think DraftKings might be the only book that offers that.
Uh-huh.
If not, then I missed it at other books.
Could be, yeah. I know.
But he was on fire. He had 15 shots in the first two games. He was leading everybody. You offered a big number on him to lead last night, and he did. With 9, like you said.
Okay. Who's the Conn Smythe winner? Who's the leader as of now? Bennett is now plus 160 at DraftKings. Most goals in the playoffs. Scored again last night. This is getting juicy. It's getting interesting.
Well, I would think it's going to be him, but also, like, how much stock will voters put into Bobrovsky's performance last night?
Right. Now, that's a good point. And beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So, game 1, 4-3 Edmonton. Game 2, 5-4 Florida. There's people going back and forth about how well or did he play well in the first two games. So you look at, yes, he gave up goals, but then you see how many saves he had as well.
That's right.
That's a tough discussion. I don't know what people are going to decide when it comes time to vote and you factor in the whole body of work. I think it's because you're winning high-scoring games and Bennett's leading the charge and setting all these records that it's got to be Bennett. The Marchand thing is an overreaction, although he's played well. But to be as low as 4-1, I think, is too low. I would have it Bennett and then Bob from a Florida standpoint with the latter. But then, I mean, you won the game 6-1. I guess the thing that could help Bob out is so many guys are scoring for Florida.
Yeah, that could be.
And that's the thing. But with high-scoring games, it was an interesting back and forth when you're looking at some of the stuff what people are saying about Bob, about how well has he played in this series and who deserves to get the Conn Smythe if Florida wins it.
Yeah, and I want to know how much also, like, recency bias is going to play into this with Brad Marchand. Right? Because what if he goes on to lead the entire series in goals? And you cannot deny how big his goals have been. He was the reason why they won game 2. The shorthanded goal still is the absolute killer to me. And then the one in overtime, forget about it. Last night, to get one past him, to begin the game and set the tone like that, the place is on fire. And you already doubt's going to be creeping into the mind of Stuart Skinner then. Oh, boy, that's really 90 seconds into the game and I gave up one already. Well, this is going to be a long night. So, will they look at the overall numbers in the Stanley Cup for Marchand if this continues and say that's going to outweigh the rest of the playoffs? I would hope not. I think as of right now, Bennett clearly should be the short shot on the board, and he is.
Uh-huh.
And if it ended today, if last night would have been the clincher of the series, I think he has to win the award.
Yeah. Yep. And not only do the Oilers have to win, now Draisaitl has to do something incredible after getting shut out and not being a factor at all.
Well, how about the guy who scored last night?
Yes, he continues to deliver. Perry was 3-1 to score a goal. And St. Cloud, Minnesota had an assist again. With Schmidt at 3-1.
That's right.
You pointed that out. He keeps delivering. But yeah, Perry's been the guy.
So he's 300-1. If Edmonton gets back into the series, again, they're going to look. Voters will absolutely gravitate towards Connor McDavid. But here's another thing, right? You cannot deny how effective and how impactful Perry's timely goals have been.
Yeah.
And his impact on the series. And by the way, that goes for a lot of the playoffs as well. Guy's been a monster.
Yep.
And so he's 300-1. I don't know if it's worth a bet or not, because again, if they come back, how are they going to look at McDavid? And maybe, I don't know. I don't think you can bet Draisaitl at this point after last night. But Bouchard's also 300-1.
Cool. Yeah.
Can anybody win it on Edmonton other than McDavid at this point?
No.
Well, then there you go. Then there's no conversation to be had.
No, that's it. Unless, I mean, again, we're not talking, you know, it's like we talked about earlier with Skinner. When he, well, Davis said he had to have three shutouts. It's like Dreisaitl's got to have a hat trick now or something, or maybe two of them. Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Full year, $199. Free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. No-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now. Get instant access to every email, or the daily email from Bill Ady, and every best bet, every host, every guest, the real-time betting splits, the dog videos, and our NFL betting guide, which drops July 1st. Limited time offer, vsin.com/subscribe, promo code book to sign up. I had enough as well, and put it on mute at the end, but still had on in case something happened. Did you see when they showed Eddie Olczyk, though, when he was drafted by the Blackhawks?
No, definitely
did
missed
you miss that with mm-hmm. Lemieux and how young he looked? Ah, oh, that was wild.
Yeah, looked like he was 16 years old.
Yes, yes.
I couldn't do it, Paul. It was such an awful game.
Wow, the penalties.
The penalties were, it was just unwatchable. I'm sorry. I mean, that game sucked last night.
Yeah. But I go back to game one. The referees are too involved here.
I know. I don't disagree.
Most of this series, you throw out the third period, which, by the way, last night looked like the third period of game one against Dallas with Edmonton.
It did.
But every time you look up, it's like someone's on the power play.
Yep.
Let them play.
Yep. Too much of that crap. So up next, we'll get into, well, one of the biggest sports books in the country. Their decision, if I can speak English here, what they did today in the state of Illinois. Strong comments, and I'm glad the CEO said this. And a bet that I made for Game 3 of the NBA Finals next here on VSiN. Get into betting Game 3 NBA Finals. That game tomorrow night. That's coming up in a few minutes here. But more on this decision by the state of Illinois to hit operators with a big tax on every bet that's going to be made. The first $20 million, there was going to be a 25-cent tax. Beyond that, then there was going to be a 50-cent tax per bet. David Purdom tweeted this out earlier today from ESPN. And by the way, he will join us coming up in an hour and 15 minutes. He pointed out that FanDuel will begin charging a 50-cent transaction fee on every bet placed on its platform in Illinois on September 1st of this year. The transaction fee is in response to a recent tax increase on sportsbooks in Illinois. You know it was coming. It had to, right? That's how they're going to respond to the dumb rule that Illinois decided to put in early last week when people were trying to sleep. And this is Peter Jackson, CEO of Flutter, the parent company of FanDuel, part of a statement today. Read like this: we believe the introduction of the Illinois transaction fee will likely motivate some Illinois-based customers to bet with unregulated operators. These operators do not contribute tax revenue to the state, will not collect the newly announced transaction fee, and do not offer the same levels of customer protection that regulated operators provide. End of quote. Again, Peter Jackson, CEO of Flutter. I'm glad he said it.
Yeah,
I'd shake his hand if he were here right now. I'd say congratulations, because I love that you actually pointed that out. It had to be.
Yeah.
So
DraftKings also came out with a statement. They're going to do something, but they'll announce it at a later time.
Oh, right.
What they're up to as well. Is this De Niro in Casino? Either you're incompetent or you're in on it. Either way, you're fired. I mean, they don't realize that they're driving bettors offshore, or they just don't care, and it's a bunch of Gordon Geckos.
They probably don't care, and the latter is what I would say. They know that. How can you be this dumb?
I know.
Right, to not recognize that people are going to be going offshore, right? I mean, or with bookies again. In Chicago, hello, can you find a bookie on every block? My guess is yes. Our buddy Jeff at the Sharp Plays tweeted this out to put it into perspective for you. So with this Illinois transaction fee, with a $100 bettor, you have to say you win 53% of the time, right? The average price at minus 110. That's the average price. Number of wagers you put in, 100. So without the 50-cent fee per bet, your net profit would be $118. With the fee, the net profit goes down to $68. Your ROI drops 57.6% due to the fee. And as he points out, that's for a winning bettor hitting 53% of the time. And you can imagine the reaction beyond that to that tweet and other news that circulated today as a result of this. People are just baffled at the decision by the state to do this.
And Derek Stevens was awesome on this a week ago. And you can go back, listen to the podcast with that as well. Was it Alan Boston who told you the difference between 110 and 115? Or was it who?
We've had that discussion before. Yeah, it goes from like 52.38% to Jeff did it last week.
No, I know. I thought someone, it was Boston or someone told you something about a house, or I would have this if I could lay this for much of my career, whatever
it
was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you would be, you basically, yeah. Look, I've seen people with offshore accounts who said the difference in, and they had like 15,000 bets and the average price offshore was like minus 107. And they said, if I had to lay minus 110 the entire time, that's going from living like I do right now, which was quite comfortably, to not even close to the kind of lifestyle that I've had. And that's with a 3 cent difference on every bet. So it's just, you know, I don't get it. Nobody does get it other than the people who are trying to make this decision because they want to line their pockets a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah.
So game three tomorrow night of the NBA Finals. I didn't make a bet on this. I took Aaron Nesmith over threes at 2.5 plus 130. Paulie, so far in the series, he's hit 3 and 4 threes in the first two games. That's nice. But more importantly, the attempts, he has taken 15 in the two games, and it wasn't like 10 and 5, it was 7 and 8. So if he's going to take 7 or 8 or maybe even more attempts in these games, and you're going to offer me a plus price and a guy who's pretty good at shooting the three, I'll take over 2.5 every single time. Had to do it. What have you done so far tomorrow
night? Right back with Chet under threes and Siakam under threes. I don't think they're going to get enough attempts, and I don't trust them to make two anyways. And I have to believe what they're telling me and what they're saying. And I think he has to be more aggressive and certainly come out and shoot more. And Stanford Steve was great on this yesterday on the show when he spoke to Tim Legler as well. Halliburton over 17.5 points. He's got a leg thingy, but he's okay.
That's what he told the media.
Thank you, right.
He goes, I'm not going to expand, but I have a leg thingy.
Yep.
Okay.
I just think he's got to be so important here. And if they have any chance to win this series, he's got to be aggressive and score and come out and take a lot of shots and also push the pace as well. So I think that's he has to have a big game in game three.
I don't know what the hell you want to do with the others for either team. The one guy I can trust in Oklahoma City, I think, is Caruso.
Really?
Oh,
come
yeah.
back?
Love the guy.
Can't Ben Shepherd hit another three? I just need one three out of Ben Shepherd.
Okay, you're not asking for too much there.
No.
But I have no, like, who else is it going to be? Do you want to bet T.J. McConnell? Do you feel like betting Obi Toppin? Is it going to be a Toppin game again?
No, I can't do it.
No clue. You're throwing darts here.
Absolutely. Well said. I want to be strong on Turner, too. I think Turner can have a big game, and he can get at least 15 points. But as far as the others, can't do it. And that goes the same way with OKC. Because now I don't trust him on the road. I trust SGA. I don't trust the others on the road. I don't trust Holmgren. I don't trust these guys on the road.
And look
They've got
some
putrid games.
Right, and look at the way Jalen Williams is shooting so far in the series. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is he going to go to Indiana and shoot 4 of 20? He might. Like, he was 6 of 19 the other night. And he has had a couple of good performances in the playoffs. But other than that, he's been kind of a disaster to me. Mm-hmm. And, Lu Dort had a great game one offensively. He's been nails defensively in both games because he's so good. But is he going to go for 12 or is he going to go for 4? I don't know the answer to that. I have no idea. And the whole series comes down to how many threes will Indiana hit compared to Oklahoma City, right? They did a great job in game one. They hit 18 of them in a high percentage. They won the game late. And then in game two, Oklahoma City matched them. That's all the NBA is today. Is if Oklahoma City only hits 9 threes tomorrow night and Indiana hits 17, Indiana's probably going to cover the game and they might win.
Mm-hmm.
But if they shoot 10 of 40, they're going to lose and they won't cover.
I think the Pacers get the money, and I think they're going to come out and respond. And again, OKC hasn't covered a game on the road, and whether you want to use zigzag or whatever it is, I think they're going to respond, and definitely Carlisle will make some adjustments. So, you know, you also had a team that had their season on the line. That was the other. You were going to get their best punch and best shot, and they did.
All right.
So good on them. I think it could go over. We'll see another over as well. And I think it'll be a different series now that it goes to Indiana and have a different look. Yeah. After well, we know they got it was a miracle in game one.
And here's another reason why I went to war with Nesmith on the perimeter. Like, Oklahoma City has done such an amazing job packing the paint now for a long time, like the entire year, but specifically in the playoffs. I don't know what got you said Turner, but he's more of a finesse player anyway and likes to go outside.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to beat this team down low? Or, like, with the mid-range? If it's not going to be in transition, like turning Oklahoma City over a zillion times, which probably won't happen.
Yeah, good point. How many guys actually attack the basket? Siakam and Halliburton. That's probably
That's pretty much it, right? So I think it's going to come from, and Oklahoma City again will allow the open three. So I had to tag it from that. And that's why Shepherd, I think, makes sense again.
Yes. And the corner three. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Second most corner threes allowed in the playoffs.
I'm also getting ready for the carnage this week at the U.S. Open. Again, Jeff Seeley, blazing hot for like the last 4 months with us, giving all golf bets coming up in about 35 minutes. Did you realize that the winning score has been 10 under or better only four times since Tiger Woods was 12 under at Pebble Beach in 2000? Four times 10 under. That's it. The two par fives are both over 600 yards. Mm-hmm. There are three par threes at 200 plus yards, including the one which is absurdly long at 289 yards. There are also two par fours in excess of 500 yards. And eagles are, this is all at vsim.com, Adam Burke's story that he wrote about, points out that eagles are going to be virtually impossible to come by this week. The most important stats that he looked at, guys with driving accuracy, approaches from more than 200 yards, fairway proximity, approach, putt performance, and three-putt avoidance. And he has, on vsim.com, I would encourage everybody to go there and you read it. I tweeted it out as well at Mitch Moss Radio. He has a top 10 that he likes at 5-1, a top 20 at plus 650, and a first-round leader at 75-1. You can go and read that for yourself. I'll give you this. Top five, he likes Colin Moore, Cara, plus 360.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I just talked about with the driving accuracy, the other stuff that's going to be important this week, he writes that Colin fits most of the he checks most of the board there.
Rory admitted to shooting an 81 in practice. It said how difficult the course was. And we know DJ won it at 4-under. And thanks to the emails and tweets, I forgot about it. In 07, Cabrera won here. He was 5-over.
Yeah. Right.
There's carnage, and then there's that.
No kidding.
5-over won a major.
I've had other people reach out to me in the last 12 to 36 hours. Multiple people say, don't get on Rory. Because I made the case yesterday, if I didn't have anybody, and here at Circa, he's plus 1450. In fact, they were making the point that he's so screwed up right now with the driver, he might not even make the cut.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Introducing the $500 plus 260. Introducing the $500 try from GBank First Bet and VEASAN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the try. $200 in cash back rewards from GBank. First Bet gives you $100, and we complete it with the pro subscription for $200 value. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account. Get it now.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
We'll hit today's Major League Baseball card here, Paulie. On paper, I have to tell you, this is an incredible pitching matchup that we have tonight as the New York Yankees are in Kansas City to take on the Royals, and it's Max Fried going for the Pinstripers against rookie Noah Cameron. And yes, on paper, it's a great matchup because Cameron has been the real deal in every single start. You have all of his numbers that you can share here in a second. I will point out that Max Fried has had one bad start the entire year, and that was May 30th at the Dodgers. Other than that, he did not allow or has not allowed more than two earned runs in a single start other than that one.
Fried, after a loss, 6-0 with an 0.57 ERA in 10 starts. Nails. And then you have Cameron, who starts his career, first five starts, six-plus innings pitched, one earned run allowed or fewer. In all five starts, only the second pitcher in the history of the game to do that. Fernando did it his first seven starts, Fernando Mania in 1981. But I think it comes to an end tonight. He does own lefties. Lefties are 2-for-27 against him on the year, but I think the righties can get him and touch him up. His outs prop is 16.5 tonight against New York. And I got it's under minus 150. So it's an incredible run. Sensational what he's doing. But I don't think he strikes out. He doesn't strike anybody out. And I think the Yankees can touch him up here. And then again, I'm not asking for too much considering, you know, could he do this six starts in a row? But, you know, 16.5 the outs, I have to play under with that.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm fading him, I think, multiple ways tonight, one of which would be the outs under. I'm also going to go under 3.5 Ks at plus 135 in that range that you find right now. A couple of reasons why. First of all, 31 innings pitched so far for Noah Cameron. His ERA is 0.85. It's like, how can you possibly go against this guy? How? 0.85 ERA?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the FIP is 3.64. That's three runs higher. And the xFIP is 4.59, almost four runs higher, the truer indicator there. And you're right, he has had eight strikeouts in one game so far this year. That came against Minnesota. 6 2/3, and he was brilliant, but he's been that way in all five starts. That is the only game in his five starts this year that he went over 3.5 strikeouts. And now he's taking on a Yankees lineup that is number one in WRC plus against lefties. They are number one in WOBA. They are number one in ISO, OPS, slugging, and they have the ninth hardest hit rate in all of Major League Baseball. I'm with you. I think it comes to an end tonight. So I'm going to go under on his props. And I'm also, I have not done this yet, but I'm also pondering, what do you think about this, Paulie? Yankees minus 2.5 runs.
Wow. Oh, wow. The payout?
Plus 135 in that range.
Really? Okay.
So the Royals against lefties, and they're getting one of the best ones in all of baseball tonight with Max Fried. They are 25th in WRC plus against lefties, 24th in WOBA, 29th in ISO, 23rd in OPS, 25th in slugging, and they are bottom half of the league in hard hit percentage as well. Yankees on the money line, minus 195. Run line here at Circa, minus 120. That's also a consideration. I could do that rather than laying the 2.5 runs. But I'm getting the full nine at-bats for the Yankees on the road here. And Noah Cameron's been a great story. But I'm betting as if that story ends tonight.
Likewise. Totally agree.
I think we're going to get runs between the Rays and the Red Sox.
Yep. Now, it was supposed to, it was cold last night, but that didn't matter and didn't stop these teams. But this is, Giolito has been an unmitigated disaster at home. He's got an ERA of 10. He got lit up in the last start, and after the game, he goes, I got to get this bleep figured out.
Yep.
So he is talking to the little man on his shoulder here. Not good.
You know what? I thought that I did some digging by looking at his every single game so far this year, like the 10-4-7 ERA at Fenway, like you talked about. Well, was it really one game there? So that might be the outlier? Nope. Like you said, the last game that he pitched, it was against the Angels. He allowed seven earned runs. Earlier, he allowed six earned runs at home to Atlanta and six earned against this Texas offense that can't hit Murray State.
Yeah.
So Giolito's ERA right now is 6.42 on the year. The FIP is almost 5. And Pepio is going for the Tampa Rays. Get out of their way, by the way, because they're suddenly red hot. His ERA on the year is 3.20. However, away from home, it's 1.5 runs worse. And he has a 4.95 ERA in four career starts against the Boston Red Sox. So total in the game. Hovering around 9, maybe 9.5 out there. If you can find a 9, maybe like $1.20, I think that's a pretty good bet.
I don't mind Roman Anthony props under as well, because you see a lot of times, and we see with Caglione as well, these guys come up and they press, and they want the pressure, and they want to do well. I mentioned the Chris Bryant story I told on the air when the Cubbies called him up, and he had the golden sombrero right away. The news came out too fast, so he couldn't have family and friends at the game. I'm supposed to get family and friends there tonight, so maybe he wants to put on a show and do well, but maybe he's also pressing. He didn't get it done last night, although he had the RBI. But, again, I would look at Anthony props under based on the fact that these guys want to make an impression right away, and sometimes it's hard to do.
Yep. Are we going to get more runs tonight between Dodgers and Padres?
I believe so, yes. I don't – you know how I feel about Cease. Dodgers, again, going with an opener. It was a they put on a display last night. Freeman is hitting .455 against Cease.
I'm on one of his props.
He has owned him. Yep, I like the Freeman props as well. And certainly like the game over again tonight.
Ohtani versus Cease as well, 6-19. Small sample size, but three home runs. On the year, Cease, the ERA is 4.72. Not good. FIP, much better, 3.20. And more than 11 Ks per nine. His splits at home, a 3.66 ERA, which is where he's at tonight. On the road, much worse. Remember, he had that one start early in the year against Sacramento, or against the A's in Sacramento, where he was absolutely lit up. And I think that maybe caused some of his numbers to go a little bit wonky. But on the year, at night, he's 0-4 with a 4.99 ERA. And career against the Dodgers in four starts, pretty good numbers, including a 12-plus K per nine rate. But I don't trust the guy at all, and I think the Padres will be able to hit up against whoever is going to be thrown out there tonight by the Dodgers.
Yep.
And the total's 8, by the way.
I know. I'm surprised, too. Yep. With you.
What else caught your attention today? I got a bunch of stuff that I like.
Abbott?
Yes, absolutely.
3-0 with an 0.55 ERA in May. Had a bad start last time out, but he has the third best ERA in the National League. I think he can show out tonight and get the win against the Guardians, and they can also touch him up. Benson has great numbers going back against them as well. He was hitting .500. That stands out to me. Fott has an ERA of 11 in his last five starts. His ERA went from 3.28 to 5.51. He goes against Seattle, and the total is 9.5. And the Giants, 51-17. Going back against Colorado since 2021, they have owned them. Took 3 out of 4 at home earlier. They're number 2 in ERA. They're number 1 in wins and one-run games. They played 7 straight one-run games. And Colorado only been favored. How about this nugget from David Purdom? They've been favored 5 times in the last 232 games. Get out of here.
Ouch. So what is your approach then?
I think they get the Palmquist, who's been terrible, who's 0-4 with it. Look how bad his ERA is as well. So I know they've scuffled here and had some issues, but I would think the Giants cover the run line and get enough support for Harrison and get the win.
And I'll ask you this too. Are books begging us to bet Mackenzie Gore tonight? Is it a trap, Paulie, with his K-prop? Here are the numbers on Gore. ERA, FIP, unbelievable, right? He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. They're both sub-3. 12.9 Ks per nine, one of the highest rates in all of MLB by any starter. His K-prop tonight, like I said, 6.5. Over was even money earlier today. He's 11-2 to the over, his K-prop this year. Recent results, 7, 8, 9, 9, 7, 9. Going over 6.5 like every single time for the most part for the last 6 weeks. Gore against the Mets. He only went over 6.5 Ks in one of his 3 starts last year. He had 2, 8, and 4 in order. He had a 6.75 ERA against the Mets last year. A 1.57 whip and only a 21.2% K rate. I guess that's the rub, huh? Mets are good against lefties, and Gore's history here. Even 2 years ago when the ERA was 2.40, he only had 9 Ks per 9 and a 22.4% K rate. I don't care. I got to bet this guy over 6.5 at even money.
All right.
If I lose, I lose.
Just the numbers. Yep. And how about this conundrum? Sandy goes against the Pirates. Pirates were great last night, scored 10 runs. They're 15-14 under Kelly. Miami's lost 7 of 8, but Sandy's the worst pitcher in baseball. With pitchers at least 50 innings pitched, he has an ERA of 8, but the Pirates are 1-9 in their last 10 Keller starts. Keller and the Pirates, $1.50. Can they keep it going?
Well,
Pirates?
Remember, Sandy was really good in his last start, and they only let him pitch, 70 pitches? And they yanked him, I think it was after 7 innings. That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to trust this Pirates offense to get to him tonight.
Yeah.
You did last night, but that was against Perez, who was making his first start in 2 years.
Yes.
So I'm going to expand on a game that you brought up. I think there's a reason to bet another K-prop tonight because this team has been awful at striking out with the lineup going back a good 2 weeks. And also, win some, lose some is up next. Paulie will detail some wicked beats last night in Major League Baseball. That's next here on VSiN.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Bouchard, most shots on goal, 12-1. Cash it. Marchand, first goal, 17-1. First period, goal and first goal by the Panthers, 9-1. Ekblad, anytime, 7-1. Rodriguez, last goal, 23-1. Perry, plus 320 to score. This was at FanDuel, I believe. A friend of Jonathan Davis had it. Will there be a fighting major in the series? Yes, 6-1. Bravo for putting that up.
No kidding.
That's creative. Exact score, 85-1. Florida minus 4.5 goals, 15-1. Goal in the first 5, plus 190. It's cashed in all 3 games. 9 of the last 10 head-to-head. have gone over. And Murray State will see you at Rocco's in Omaha. Plus 190 racing to the College World Series. Seven different conferences are represented. They shock Duke and get it done. Pat, 41, if it was the biggest moment in their career, in their history for an athletic. They've won tournament games, John.
Yeah, they've had awesome showings in the tournament.
Is this bigger than winning a game in the... I don't think that's the case. Winning a game in the tournament's bigger.
That's a big deal.
The John Morant team.
That John Morant team was sensational, by the way. They were somehow a 12 seed.
Yeah. So you mentioned you tapped out because the game was so bad. I did the same thing. And I know I had seen this before, and I always forgot about it. But they did a movie on it called The Luckiest Man in America, and Walter Goggins is in it. The movie's not very good. But the Press Your Luck scandal, the documentary on Game Show Network, and Peter Tamarkin is in it. In 1984, Michael Larson beat Press Your Luck for $110,000, and he went 41 times without a whammy. And they showed how he did it. Five different patterns of lights, how he figured it out. And we've all watched the game, and they still have it. But it would go from, like, if you can see, it would go from up here to down here, off to the left, and then far right, and then up in the middle. And then it was numbered 4 and 8. Numbers 4 and 8 did not have whammies. So he had it memorized and so good, whereas it's stop, stop. And every time he would stop, it's either a trip,
$3,000 in cash.
$3 in cash or money in a spin again. So they're like, and they, I don't know if they did this because they had to go to two different episodes when it aired, and it's just to air it on CBS. But they actually stopped the filming and they told the host, tell this guy the significance of he's risking it all every single time. Why is he so confident that the guy wouldn't pass the spins? And he goes, I'm going. I'm going, Peter. I'm going to keep going. And he did it 41 times in a row. It's incredible. It's 91 minutes. And I think they made a mistake initially because they fought him. They thought he was cheating, whatever. He just outsmarted him. But you needed to embrace this. The guy won the most amount of money at that time ever on a game show. You should have treated that like the Super Bowl and just had and promoted the hell out of it about upcoming Michael Larson here. You won't believe what he does. It takes two episodes. Incredible documentary.
Okay, so you're saying you just happened to watch it last night, or is there a correlation here to the Stanley Cup game?
No, I was saying it was so bad. I put that on.
I got you.
With the documentary.
Peter Tamarkin, by the way.
Right.
He was
excellent host.
And a dynamite. You know how he died?
Helicopter?
It was a plane crash.
Oh.
And I believe he and his wife, it was off the coast of California. They were going to help out medical patients. They were transporting to needy medical patients. They were en route to San Diego in a crash, and that's how they died. So, dynamite game show host, better human being.
Yeah. He looked the same, too, from 1984 to when they did this documentary, and then they show you how he did it.
That was my go-to on a sick day from school or snow day in the Midwest. I'm like, yes, I get to watch Press Your Luck.
And Price is right.
Yeah.
Who was better than Barker? Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in. We'll put you on. Mitch sent this in. How good is this? This is where the humans pretend to be getting robbed or someone breaks in and attacks them, but the dogs go right back to eating the food. I'm not going to protect you. Okay. That's too bad. Okay. I got the full plate here. Ball, I got to eat it.
They act out the beating?
Yes. Right. No. Initially, he walks over like, oh, no, this guy's got you in a headlock. No, go right back to the food every
time. What's going
time.
On? Oh, hold on.
Right back to the food. Oh, boy, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, right?
It actually makes me want to do this with our dogs now to see what happens.
Right. Have you ever done you each run in a direction and see where the dog goes?
I have not done that.
You haven't done that one either?
I know where they're going.
Okay.
I don't want to make my wife feel bad.
Oh, there you go. Strong. How about this? At We Rate Dogs on Instagram and X. This is, that's Max. You believe this? Max snuck out in the middle of the night and walked 7 miles to get a breakfast burrito. He was accidentally left out of his home. He walked for 2 hours to a local convenience store where workers had fed him a breakfast burrito before. The store hadn't opened yet, but he was found the next morning patiently waiting outside for his well-earned snack. His GPS caller told the entire story, and he got his burrito.
What did he walk through, like 50 acres of mud
to
get there?
Good job, Max. You're phenomenal. You are the best, my friend. Smart. It's fun to be on a heater. FTM at VSiN.com, the email. James Turner has hit over 10 more than 10 Royals in the last couple months. Here's another one for $2,000. And he shows it off. Thanks for sending it in. I didn't see the previous one, James. Keep them coming. Mitch will keep me in line. Send them in. We'll put you on. Send them all in. 10 Royals. That's a serious heater as well. Want to lose some? Talked about, you know, how short's the leash for Skinner. What do you think of this leash? Look at the guy's got the dog. Boy, he runs on batteries. That dog is so tiny, and the guy's got the huge chain on him to walk him in the neighborhood, and it's just the people taking the video just can't believe it. I mean, look at that. Yeah, what a gag that is. What a put on that is.
Was the dog weigh 4 pounds?
Oh, it's got to be. Yeah. Snowball runs on batteries. Bad beats. You mentioned it several. Diamondbacks Mariners under. It's 4-0 in the ninth. Seattle gets a 4 spot. And then a grand slam walk-off for Arizona. Blue Jays Cardinals under 8.5. 2-0 in the eighth. Come on. 3-0, bottom of the eighth. Cardinals tie it, and then shenanigans there. Actually, Cardinals take the lead. Blue Jays tie it. And Braves Brewers under 7.5. 3-1 in the eighth. Nobody's safe. These bullpens are a joke. Before the line moves, Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar books or full-time pro bettors on your own. With the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. Free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights delivered right to you via email or X. They have a documented track record going back to 2011. Receipts, logs, and results right there on the site. You heard him Friday. He was awesome. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out, SharpPlays.com.
Now, this prop moved to the under, so bettors were taking the other way with him, and that is Abbott tonight for the Reds against the Guardians, Paulie, the game that you mentioned 10 minutes ago when we discussed today's Major League Baseball card. He's 5-1 to the over with his K's. Recent games here, 6-8-2 against the Cubs, but the Cubs are awesome against lefties. 5 against Cleveland, 7-8. Cleveland's K rate against lefties since that May 18th game against Abbott, 27.2%. It's 28.3% since May 25th when they saw Skubal. And starting pitchers, I'll even include Miley yesterday, who struck out 2 in the first, but he stayed under 2.5 Ks. Even with that, starting pitchers are 12-3 over their K prop in the last 15 games against Cleveland. And Abbott was 5.5, moved to 4.5. But I think that he can, against this lineup, okay, the way that they're trending, the way he's been, I think he can get to 5 tonight, and that would be worth a bet to me. In fact, 5.5 over plus money is worth a bet to me as well.
All right. Ramirez crushing it, too, hitting almost 400 last 35 games, and he still has the on-base streak 35 games in a row. How about Povich favored? This was $1.40. Does it matter who Detroit's playing? Can Baltimore be laying this?
Probably not.
Wow.
Povich, I think, is actually a little bit better than what we think. It's also a fade against this kid for the Tigers, going for like the second time, and that's it.
The Orioles Pens got a 1.95 the last 15. Detroit 10-2 against the East, 12-4 against lefties. Their starters 6-1 with a 1.79 going back the last 2 weeks. Incredible what Detroit starters have been doing.
Yeah, and here at Circa, by the way, that number's down to -129. Okay, so you really want to bet against Alcantara again tonight. Adam Frazier in his career, 7-15, 2 home runs and a double.
Oh, yeah, 467 against him. Thank you. Missed that, yep.
And Cabrian Hayes, 5-12.
Yep.
3 stolen bases.
All right.
So maybe there's something there.
You know, they're saying all the right things. You know, McCutchen says he's making the right moves. Kelly's doing a good job. They got the winning record now. Pitching's been solid. So I don't mind it. You know, I usually don't like to bet a team after they explode like that.
Yeah, right.
But I think they can touch up Sandy and $1.50 for the Pirates today.
Especially for a team that's been so miserable scoring runs the entire year.
Yeah.
Now you got to bank on them doing it twice in a row.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, the white hot Jeff Seely is going to join the program. He has had quite the run here going back to February betting golf. We'll get into his best bets for the U.S. Open. What kind of final score wins this tournament? Are we talking even par, two over, two under? How tough is it going to be? We'll ask him next here on VSiN.